Gotta walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer practice, then... there goes the extra time for a jog. That's okay. Maybe next week.
When everyone else relies on you, it's easy to put your needs last. Therapy is a dedicated time to focus on what you need to be happy, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. BetterHelp offers convenient online therapy on your schedule. It's the same professional service you'd get from an in-person therapist, but with the option to communicate when and how you want, by chat, phone, or video call. Go to their site and fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com.
Myself the best in the world.
Other people said it for me.
In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
I am part of a special breed.
I am one of a literal dying
breed.
Everything I have, I fought for and
didn't
I've earned.
What the hierarchy thought of us.
I wouldn't have 5 years of pent-up ammunition to unload on him. I wouldn't have so much to say.
And yeah, I got a bad attitude and a bad reputation.
I tend to piss a lot of people off.
But I didn't give a damn. And yeah, I developed a chip on my shoulder because I knew I was the best.
I am the best in the world at what I do! Do I have everybody's attention now?
Last week on Live Talk.
Get out of here with that!
What's the charge?
Interference with a police officer.
Do you realize this is all on tape?
Shut that off.
One more suspect who will not come to trial. Thanks to this officer's brand of frontier justice.
You're not going to drop this vendetta, are you, Raul?
It's not a vendetta.
You know, sometimes a soft approach can work.
Are you a complete idiot?
Captain, we're going to make Ricardo eat his words.
Tonight on Live Talk, Part 2, City on Fire.
I can't do it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live! Fuck, do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Fucking
thing sucks!
5, 4, 3.
From the south coast of the Golden State, it's Long Beach's most popular talk show. Live Talk with Alex Exum. The Live Talk phone lines are open and ready for your call at 562-543-1625. And now, your host for Live Talk, Alex Exum.
I saw two amazing movies this weekend that I'm going to tell you about later on the show. Because, as you know, I like to do movie reviews every once in a while. Hi, friend. How are you? Alex Exum, Live Talk. I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a good mood. That's the good news. I watched more of the Derek Chauvin trial. And we'll get into that because I have a shocking bit of information that you don't know and did not hear about that I found out today. And I know you don't have time. Who's got time to watch this whole damn trial? But your good friend Alex Exum has, because I have no life. And that's why I spend my Tuesdays with you for an entire hour. It's like visiting like the elderly or something when I don't want to do the show. And I'm like, well, I gotta do it. It's like what is it? Meals on Wheels? Meals on Wheels? Is that a thing anymore? Does anyone still... I shouldn't say that. Now I'm going to get hate mail from people who need Meals on Wheels. No. You're not an invalid. You're my friend. And I like showing up here every Tuesday so we can have these little chats. Little chats. I'm wound up. I had, you know, I don't do this normally. I didn't have just one Cherry Coke. I had a Cherry Coke and a half. It's a little too much. Because, you know, I try not to have as much Red Bull as I used to, as you know. And if I have a Red Bull on the show, I think you know it, right? I'm really wound up. Sometimes I fly into a rage, but I'm in a good mood. It's a Cherry Coke High. I like to call it a Cherry Coke High. So I'll tell you about the two films that I saw. Let's just get that out of the way. And then I'm going to tell you about the trial. And then we're going to talk about some other things, if you like. I might even open up the phones. If anyone wants to call, I'm kind of in a mood. Don't call yet. I haven't opened up the phones. So anyway, what movie did I see that really blew me away? And I don't think you gave it a chance because I didn't. Because I thought it was mainly just BS and hype and things like that. And it was kind of BS and hype, as is most things that swirl around movies. You know how I feel about movies. Sometimes they're not marketed right. And that was the case with this. And by the way, let me start off by saying hello. Because I appreciate you, Linda Irwin and Jared Hohenstein and Jess Rogge. By the way, Jess Rogge has a show called, not Rogge, it's Rogge. I don't know, I'm rolling my R's with you tonight, Jess. The Rogge Report, and that's tomorrow night, so check that out. Jared Hohenstein also has a show on Tuesday night called The Ho-Ho. Tuesday, that's my show. Saturday night's called The Ho-Ho Show, right? And Linda's got Vector. Is Vector here as well? I think Linda's got her AI companion Vector, and Linda also has a show. So it is just entertainment galore here in the Exum Experience chat room. And I guess you call what I do entertainment. What is this thing anymore? It's more like therapy on both ends. Your end and my end. That sounded kind of sexual. On both ends. Anyway, what is the film that I saw that really blew me away? And it is a film from 2020. And the only reason I saw it, and I'm going to tell you the blockbuster movie that you can see that's now in theaters that I saw as well. But this is when I saw it home. on DVD rather. This is one I picked up because I just happened to see it there. And I said, I heard about this and I never got a chance to see it. I have it right here. This is called The Hunt. This is from 2020. And you may remember it because there was some slight controversy over The Hunt because of the content, not only because it was ultraviolet, but did I say ultraviolet? Ultraviolet. I've had too much Cherry Coke, obviously. It's ultraviolet. And listen, I can do violence, and I'm telling you, this thing was violent. So it's not for the children. Unless you have psychotic children like the child I was when I was about 13, 14. I saw just about everything. But anyway, the point is, The Hunt is very violent, so it's not for the queasy. It's politically charged. And, you know, I hate to throw this word around, divisive, but I mean, I guess there's nothing else. It's a parody. But I don't think most people who saw it understood what the hell it was about. I think most, not most, I think a lot of people and some people who reacted poorly to it didn't get the joke. They weren't in on the joke. You are smarter than that. And you will get the joke. Look, the violence and the, I don't want to give anything away because if you have not seen the film, you need to see that film. Go get the DVD, The Hunt. You can stream it probably now on all those. Actually, somebody asked me, they said, where can I see it? And I said, oh, I think you can stream it. They said, it's not on Netflix. So they looked. I guess it's not there. But you can get it on DVD, man. Just go pick up the DVD. Does anyone buy physical media other than me? Nobody buys DVDs anymore. You can get it on Blu-ray, which I did. And it came with the Blu-ray, a DVD, and a digital code. All right? I don't know why I'm telling you this. Sometimes I feel like I'm marketing other people's products and services. Now I'm marketing a movie. Here's the deal. You need to watch the film. Because not only is it a parody and just kind of a lot of the characters are caricatures of Trump supporters, of let's so-called snowflakes. I'm doing air quotes here. Liberal and conservative archetypes. When you see it, you'll know what I'm trying not to give too much away. Look, here's what happens. I can give you this much because you probably know this from the trailer and just the synopsis of the movie. The Hunt is a group of people wake up. They're obviously drugged or knocked out some way. They wake up in the middle of the forest, basically, and are running from their lives from just about the very beginning. There is a huge crate that they stumble upon early on, which they open up to find weapons of all sorts. I'm talking everything, machine guns, handguns, crossbows, blowguns, I mean, knives and stabbing weapons. It's my Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator 2. Anyone get that? No, you didn't get that joke? That wasn't my best. Did anyone see Terminator 2? Forget it. There's a scene in Terminator. Now I got to explain myself. This is how my head works. If you're just tuning in for the first time, my name is Alex Ixum. This is Live Talk. It's not Stream of Consciousness. Trust me, there's a point to this whole story. Arnold Schwarzenegger says in Terminator 2, knives and stabbing weapons. That's my Arnold Schwarzenegger. The little kid goes, well, what? You can, this new Terminator thing? Remember the liquid Terminator? He goes, you can turn into a bomb? He goes, no, not complicated machinery. He goes, well, what can he turn into? Knives and stabbing weapons. You know, only Arnold Schwarzenegger could play that part. And I think that's the only part Arnold Schwarzenegger could play to fully bring out his acting capabilities because he is such a deep method actor. Getting back to The Hunt. So it got bad press because of the politically charged aspects of the film. And it's ultraviolet. But one of the performances is beautiful. I was not familiar with this actress, Betty Gilpin. Holy Toledo. Who is she? Love her. Call me. Call me, Betty. 562-543-1625. Alex Ixum. Look me up in the phone book, Long Beach. So Betty Gilpin plays this, like, I hate to say it. Please, I know we're on syndicated in Arkansas, but let's just say it. An Arkansas country bumpkin. And by the way, Arkansas comes up quite a few times in this film. So for all you Neanderthals in Arkansas, you might like this. So the movie starts off with them just in the middle of the forest. Wake up, drugged and like, you know, dazed. And basically start running from their lives. They're being shot at. Grenades are being thrown at them from the very beginning. And people start getting picked off very quickly that you didn't think were. That's what was so shocking. I said, so it's going to be about this chick. Boom, she died. Oh, not her. Oh, it's going to be about this dude. Oh, wow, he gets it. People just start getting it right and left. It's very well done. The violence is gory. The cinematography is great. The acting is good. The casting was A+. Casting was great. By the way, Hilary Swank's in this. One of the, in my opinion, one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood today. Hilary Swank. The point is, I'm going to read you the back of the dang DVD and then you'll get the point. And then I'll go into it, why you need to see it. Because this obviously doesn't tell you the whole thing. In this, well, it tells you right there. In this subversive satire, a group of elites gather for the first time at a remote manor house to hunt ordinary Americans for sport. By the way, I got to interject. This is an old film. There's several old films made basically on this premise. So they just did a twist on this, right? The back of the DVD continues. But the elite's master plan is about to be derailed because one of the hunted, Crystal, by the way, that's Betty Gilpin, fantastic performance, knows the hunter's game better than they do. She turns the tables on the killers, picking them off one by one as she makes her way towards the mysterious woman at the center of it all. Okay, that gives you really nothing, so it doesn't give enough away. That's good. I won't either. But there are some very... memes are pretty much brought up. I mean, there's one point where one of the guys that's being hunted says, I know that these people are crisis actors. I was like, oh my gosh. He's like, look, man, I have a podcast. I just started laughing. I couldn't help but think of some people I know. And the whole movie's very conspiratorial, all right? And they're going to get into, I mean, folks, Pizzagate was mentioned. I said, they know all this stuff. They were steeped in conspiracy culture. And some of these people that are being hunted were exposing this so-called Manorgate. So when you think of, obviously, Pizzagate, Manorgate, this whole conspiratorial whack job tinfoil hat thing has finally come full circle in cinema. And The Hunt did a great parody of it in 2020. You need to see that film. That's all I'm going to say because I almost gave something away I didn't want to. There's a fantastic scene, let's just say, in the Arkansas convenience store. I have said too much. Has anyone seen this film? I know I'm talking into a hot mic. Hello. Is this thing on? Is anyone out there? Has anyone seen this film, The Hunt? Am I the only one since 2020 who's seen The Hunt? Because it got bad press. If you search right now, and don't talk to me about Rotten Tomatoes. What in the hell does Rotten Tomatoes know? When people tell me, oh, I don't know, Rotten Tomatoes, what? That is where you get your movie recommendations? You need to start listening to this show. You need to see that film, The Hunt. And look, if for nothing else, it's a good time and it's a party film. Like, it's a party film. You can get together with a bunch of people, get a six-pack, you know, get the bong percolating. It's that kind of film. It's a blockbuster laugh fest, if you're in the right mind frame. Because some people won't get the jokes. That's the thing. They're going to take it literally, right? And I think that's what happened when it first came out. Some people took it literally and were like, well, this is horrific. I remember a lot, I think Trump supporters were getting up in arms about it because a lot of the jokes are aimed at Trump supporters, but they go after, let's say, liberals or snowflakes as well. They actually use snowflakes as a term. But as Trump supporters, you got to be smarter than this, man. I mean, you don't get the jokes? Jared, somebody finally answers me. Jared in the chat said, no, I haven't seen it. I will have to find it. Yes, you will, Jared. Jared, just buy it. Look, here's the deal. Buy the DVD, Jared. That's what I did because guess what? When you get the DVD, you get one of those digital codes for Vudu or Movie Anywhere. You're probably streaming everything anyway, right? Movies Anywhere, Paramount. What is it? Here, I'll open the thing right now. I'm not going to say the code on air. I should just give it out and the first person who types it in gets the digital movie. But it gives you a free digital code. You get an actual Blu-ray and a DVD. Now, why do they give me a Blu-ray and a DVD? Like I'm actually going to watch a DVD when I have a Blu-ray. Right? So I've got, when I buy DVDs now, I have like all these, when I buy Blu-rays rather, I have DVDs that accompany them. And I go, what am I going to do with this DVD? So I got a bunch of DVDs I could just give away. Anyone want some DVDs? Another DVD I picked up, News of the World with Tom Hanks. I'm not going to tell you about that one because I actually started falling asleep. It's a long movie and it was kind of dark. So it was a late night. But here's the other, this is not a movie review show. If you're tuning in for the first time, we've got, look, get serious. We got serious biz. I got to tell you about the Chauvinot trial. and Mr. Maurice Hall, who might derail the entire trial. Oh, you haven't heard that name before. Wait till I tell you about this. You thought it was all about George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. No. You are misinformed, my friend. And I'll get into that later. But the point is, I saw another movie today, a blockbuster movie today. This is out in theaters right now, if you can go to the movie theaters where you live. Well, that's finally opening up. Godzilla versus King Kong. Have you seen this? Have you seen anything? What have you done? Seen any good films lately? Anything at all? Anything at all? I don't know how people watch Netflix anymore. Someone's like, oh, Netflix. I'm like, Netflix, there's nothing. Netflix sucks. I could go and buy 3 or 4 movies and be a hell of a lot happier than spending the, what am I spending? $7, $20, $50? What do you spend on Netflix nowadays? I don't even remember. They raise the price every month. Or is it every Friday now? It goes up a couple of bucks every Friday? Netflix? No. This turned into a film review show. All right. But listen, please, in the chat, I've got, look, Jess, Linda, Ho-Ho, if you've seen a film, put it in there because you ever see a movie? I know this happens, right? You watch a movie. You're sitting there with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever else. You look at each other and go, I want to watch another one, right? Like when you watch a good movie, doesn't that make you want to watch another good movie? It happens to me every time. It happens every time. You're like, and that's what I had a double feature. And then I saw the Godzilla film on Sunday, Godzilla versus King Kong. Really good movie. You know, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. I saw Godzilla King of Monsters. All right. They always end up screwing up Godzilla films. Kong Island. Yeah, right. Did you see that? It's all right. I didn't really like the actors in it. Samuel Jackson. Oh, yeah. That's all I needed. Another movie with him in it. All right. And Kong Island was all right. It had its moments. It did. But, yeah. It was kind of like a Jurassic Park-y type Kong movie. But Kong versus Zilla was really good. I don't want to give anything away, but Mechagodzilla. Oh, sorry. I gave away too much. There was a nice little surprise in that, and I really enjoyed that. I'm putting down the cherry Coke. That, folks, I can't have any more. I'm wound up. Wound up tonight. A lot of energy. Had a good sleep last night. You ever just sleep so well, you wake up, you feel like you hibernated for a month? I just woke up. Seriously, I slept for like 8-9 hours. I never sleep that long. I'm usually like a 6-7 hour sleeper and get up and like go try and go back to sleep. I can't. Just like one of those days you work out or you do something physical and it just zaps you and you're like, I'm going to sleep. Then you eat a big meal. I was just out 9 hours. Just woke up refreshed, leaping out of bed. Gazelling out of bed. Full day of work. Spent an hour doing some freelance work and popped on the mic and here I am. I have busy days, just so you know. From the time I get up in the morning, it is just like nonstop. Jared Hohenstein has a nice little trivia fact. Godzilla is the longest running movie monster. I believe you're right. Not King Kong, you sure? Yeah, I think you're right. I think you are right, Godzilla. Here, I got another. Here, I got a question. Don't know Googling. I got a question for you. What is the longest running television series, Jared? Longest running television series on television. Do you know what that is? I know. You know why? Well, not because I have this, but I actually have a DVD. This turned into like a review show. This is very strange. We're going to switch it up and talk about the Chauvinite trial. It's the, let's call it the George Floyd trial. That's who died, and that's what this is all about. But, you know, now it's about the officer, Derek Chauvinat, however you want to pronounce it. I've heard it so many different ways, it's kind of funny. But, yeah, that's what it's really about, seeing if this cop gets his up and comings. Jared says NCSI 17 seasons. Oh no. Anyone else? Anyone? Don't Google it. You're never going to guess. I know someone's probably thinking The Simpsons. No, that's longest running comedy series, believe it or not. Yeah, Simpsons. And it's animated. Animated. So it's the longest running animated series, I guess you would say. But I know it's the longest running comedy series. No, it is not NCSI. And obviously no one else knows in the peanut gallery. It is, are you ready for this? Gunsmoke. Look that up. How do I know this? Because I know weird, strange, stupid trivia about Hollywood and movies. Gunsmoke, the longest running television series. Gunsmoke. Oh yeah, look it up. No, Gunsmoke's not animated, Jared. Not, no, I said The Simpsons. I was talking about The Simpsons. The Simpsons are the longest running comedy series, I believe. And I'm sure the longest running animated. I keep saying animated. Abominable. Anyway, I love Gunsmoke as well as The Simpsons, as you know. Okay, I don't know why I keep talking about media. So what is the important thing? You need? Let's just get into this. But I got to go to a... See, I lose track of time. We're pushing up on a break. And I don't have to... I want to give it to you at once, so I don't want to chop this up. Well, let me tease you. I guess I could tease. So look, let me just break this down, because we just did an entire first half hour or 20 minutes of the goddamn gosh darn show. Excuse me. About movies. So let's talk about the three that you should see, in my opinion. The Hunt, that came out in 2022. Godzilla versus King Kong. And News of the World. But that's still up for debate because I didn't get through the whole thing. So I'll tell you when I'm done with that. But it was good. And that's that new Tom Hanks film where he's taking a little girl who was kidnapped into a Indian tribe and is trying to get her back to her rightful family. So it's an interesting, it's a very gritty Western. Gritty. So if you're in that kind of, in for that kind of thing, you know, here's the problem I think I have with it. It's a little depressing and things are kind of like, it's a depressing world right now. And I was like, it's a little dark. You know, The Hunt was like kind of slapstick violence and gory and like, well, good. Like, take your mind off things. And of course, you know, Godzilla, King Kong. Who doesn't love that? It's just, you know, just blockbuster fun. And I'm sure you can see that on the IMAX too. So I didn't see it on IMAX, but that would have been amazing. Especially, here's the thing about that film. A lot of these films are obviously 90% of the film is CGI, right? And it can kind of take you out of it. But I thought it was really well done. I mean, some of the CGI is just like incredible. It wasn't the Transformer, like too much on the screen at once, where it's just like, it's too much. It's just too much. The one thing I always find funny, though, is people praise these, they call them titans in the movie and everything, right? When they do good, like they finally fight the bad monster, you know, this is the drill. Godzilla comes on land, starts wrecking stuff and freaks out, and then another big bad monster comes and he fights him and they go, oh, he's helping. Like every footstep they kill, like, you know, 100 people. Like I always think of that. They're falling into buildings, crashing into everything around them, right? I'm like, oh, there goes the stadium. I wonder how many people died there. You know, they never show like the aftermath. They never show the people squashed all over, just blood and guts all over the place. Although it was a little gory. There's one scene where Kong kills this creature and rips its head off and sucks its brains out from its skull. And I know it's a gorilla, right? I mean, I eat that way sometimes with crab, right? But it was a little off-putting, I gotta tell you. It was a little off-putting. And I couldn't help but think of the children. Because you know me, I'm always thinking of the children. It was a little violent for a monster movie because, you know, mostly it's going to be children who want to go to this darn thing. Was it PG-13? So I guess it's teen friendly. I don't know if it's for the... It was violent. There were some violent moments in there. But I think you'll like it. All right. I'm done. We're not talking about any kind of media after the break. We're going to talk about the very, very, very important George Floyd trial, and I'll tell you what you don't know and why this bastard cop may get off. Look, nobody likes this guy. And the more I look at his smug face in that picture, they keep showing that picture of him with his knee on George Floyd's neck. It's aggravating to see this guy. So we'll see. But I've got some important information about a Maurice Hall that you don't know, who is pleading the fifth because he doesn't want to be charged with third degree murder. Murder. When we come back, live talk, Alex X.
Ice pit, shack, head, tower, air force. Bitches, swag, guts. Suicidal, no. Got my left in sweats. Hammer top, make the go, go. That's what my song, like a gunshot. Hammer top, I'm a nose, that's an underpowder. Hammer top, with the mind, bop, bop, bop.
Okay, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. So mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole or you have to start all over. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier, and it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath.
He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties.
He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You make sure his toys don't have any sharp edges. You taught her what to do when the smoke alarm goes off. You do so much to keep your child safe. But are you using the right car seat for your child? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. For information on the right seat for your child, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So you see, son, good manners are important. Should I go through it again?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open, don't speak with your mouth full, keep your elbows off the table. Share your things, play nice, and generally treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier. And it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I'm the center of attention at summer barbecues. In 96, I made some of the tastiest s'mores. And in 09, it was me, your backyard fire pit, that accidentally started a wildfire when a summer breeze carried one of my embers into some dry brush.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that a tornado was going to happen tomorrow, right where you live? That it would touch down at exactly 3:17 p.m. and I told you the exact path it would take, you would, of course, prepare. You would talk with your loved ones, and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a tornado will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you have a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org.
This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Yeah. I'm sleep on them, but I can't sleep on them. Hit the brought the Cuban link on them. I'm involved, but you won't hear a peep from me.
So, do you want the good news or the bad news? The good news is I'm going to be able to give you a very concise breakdown of the Derek Chauvin trial, George Floyd trial, let's say. And if you want a more in-depth breakdown, you can listen to last Tuesday's show where I really got into it and some of the stuff you probably don't know. But we're now in the meat of this thing, right? This was supposed to last, they said, about 3 to 4 weeks. You know, it's always an estimation. But it's pretty accurate. We're right in the middle of it now, and we're going to be, going into the third week, and then they're going to wrap it up with closing arguments that final week and deliberations and all that. So I think they're giving some time for that. The point is, some shocking information came out today. And I've been thinking about this, and it really kind of came to even the pundits' minds, and everyone was talking about it, and then there were some motions and things and sidebars that came out. So we're going to talk about that today. But this has been a problem for the entire trial. You didn't know about this guy. Maurice Hall. And we're going to talk about him. And I was telling a good friend the other day, he doesn't know much about the case, just saw the video, and I said, you know who the biggest villain in this, in my opinion, because I've seen this. Well, I've seen multiple testimony and video, multiple videos of this guy wondering, why is this guy around? Like, what's the deal? And then you figure out what happened. The biggest villain in this case would be Maurice Hall. Now, I don't want to break down what happened last week. Like I said, you can listen to last week's show. So the good news is I can still break this down. The bad news is I wasted the entire first half of the show, estimated 30 minutes, breaking down movies, a movie review. And this is not a movie review show, but that just kind of happened. All right. You know, the good thing about Spreaker, I think you can skip. Maybe I'll put a bookmark in about 30 minutes and people can just go right to this part. So, Maurice Hall is a friend and drug dealer of George Floyd, who, if you watch the video, not the video that you've seen with the police officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck as he's dying, but the gentleman, he looks like, I hate to say it, but I told Carlton, I said, you know, I mean, he looks like a dope dealer out of central casting, right? He's got like the chains, you know, the ball cap, the flashy clothes. Like he, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, would never suspect him, like right out of central casting. But Maurice Hall, who, by the way, skipped town immediately after this whole thing, was not in, let's say, the good graces of George Floyd's wife, which strangely, it was a very strange, I was not expecting, his wife looked like a accountant or like a librarian. I was like, that's George Floyd. Okay. Hey, whatever. But anyway, and I think a lot of people thought that. I know Carlton did. We talked about that. I said, that's his, you never even, here's the other thing. I never heard about his wife until the trial. Like, where was she during all, like, was she, I didn't see her protest. I mean, I saw his family freaking out. I saw Al Sharpton rearing his ugly head, of course. And the attorneys who sued civilly, I saw all them. But for some reason, I remember seeing his wife. But anyway, I saw her at the trial. And she said she did not like this Maurice Hall. Why? Because he was known to furnish George Floyd with drugs, heroin, and apparently fentanyl and pills. She also had an opioid problem at some point, but had kicked it. George Floyd was having a tougher time, apparently. So the point is, you know, here's the thing that's going to really disgust you, man. This whole thing started over $20, man. I think I said this last week. The whole thing was over $20, a fake $20 bill. Now, here's why, in my opinion, Mr. Maurice Hall is the villain in this whole thing. Because if it was not for Maurice Hall giving George Floyd a phony dollar, a phony 20. Oh, you didn't know that. Apparently, he gave it to George Floyd because he was so high, probably on the drugs that Mr. Maurice Hall gave George Floyd, that he said, here, use this money. In other words, pass off that fake 20 and you'll get change for it when you buy whatever he was buying, a drink, cigarettes, whatever, in the convenience store, which is called the Cup Food Store, which I still find a strange name for a store. Cup Food Store. The Cup Store. Okay, fine. So, in other words, his dope-dealing friend, if you want to call him friend, okay, that's a loose term, loosely used, let's say, is giving George Floyd possibly the drugs that may have killed him, right, if it was an overdose, if that's proven, and gives him a fake $20 bill, which was obviously fake. What do you call him? The cashier, not the manager, that he comes in later, but the cashier said it was obviously a fake 20, and I felt like George was getting taken advantage of by this other guy because he was so high. He was in a good mood and everything. He just didn't know that it was fake, even though it was obviously fake to me. I handle money all day, you know. That's how the cops got called. So not only was he high, which made him erratic, and the police overreact maybe, but he's the one who instigated the whole counterfeit 20. And then, so he's not guilty. What does Maurice Hall do after George Floyd dies? Skips town immediately, takes off. So do you think he might have thought maybe it wasn't the neck? Maybe it wasn't the knee on the neck of George Floyd? Maybe it was the massive quantities of drugs I gave him, maybe including fentanyl? Or maybe, here's the problem you have, I don't know this, I'm speculating, but a lot of these guys cut their stuff with fentanyl now to make it more so that it goes last longer. If it's heroin, they'll put a little fentanyl in it. So these people think, oh, it's really potent. And they don't realize it's fentanyl. They think it's heroin. So who knows, man? All I'm saying is, if it were not for Mr. Maurice Hall, none of this would have probably happened. He had the fake 20 he gave to George Floyd to pass off. He's the one who was probably giving him the dope. He was the dope dealer. This is all coming out in court. So you say, Alex, wait, why is this important? Like, who cares? I saw a cop with his knee on the neck of this guy saying, I can't breathe until he died. I get it. Here's the point. This is what you don't know. And this is why there's all sorts of problems that I'm not saying the trial's going wrong, but you never know because the defense can poke holes. Here's the problem. You haven't asked yourself this. Mr. Maurice Hall is pleading the fifth. It was a big thing all day today. They were having sidebars and all sorts of discussions. They actually had Maurice Hall. I think he's in Texas. He got picked up by authorities in Texas for I don't know what. But he was on video camera and he was basically communicating through video. Not saying anything. He was making his appearance saying his lawyer is saying he's going to plead the fifth. And which, by the way, his lawyer was pretty effective in doing that. I don't know if she was a public defender, but she was actually pretty, I'm assuming not. I'm assuming this lawyer was probably paid for by somebody, maybe a family member of the Floyds. They got $27 million. I mean, I think they could afford it. But anyway, Mr. Maurice Hall doesn't want to say one word, not one word. He doesn't want to answer one question, pleading the fifth, because he doesn't want to incriminate himself. Why? His lawyer said he has not been offered immunity by the state. You go, wait a second, hold on. This guy is critical in proving he was there at the scene the whole time. The cops were interacting with him. He was in the car with George Floyd. I mean, he was there. They show him giving George Floyd stuff. They show him giving, passing off the 20. Show him giving, this is all in video, okay? In the cup store. Surveillance. So, again, skips town right after he died. So that you find that highly suspicious, right? So, of course, the lawyer, the defense is going to ask him that. Why'd you skip town right after you left? Did you give him drugs? What's this on video? Why'd you give him that? Did you give him the 20? I mean, all sorts of stuff that could implicate him, right? And by the way, he could be charged with third-degree murder. Oh, you didn't know this. If you give someone drugs, heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, I don't care what it is, and they die from using it, you can be charged with third-degree murder. You didn't know this. Let's say you get it for somebody. Somebody says, hey, man, do you know where I can get such and such drug? You go, oh, I know a guy, and you hook it up for him. The middleman could be charged with the drugs. Let's say it was made in Tijuana and came up through the border, and they find out where it was being made from. He could be charged, and you're like, well, that's a stretch. I get it. But you got to understand how this thing can go. It's very far-reaching. Right. So in other words, Maurice Hall's got a lot to worry about if it comes out that he died from fentanyl. But you're like, wait a second. Right. This is the big conundrum that you have, or they have, and we have. Why in God's name is the state of Minneapolis, who is saying that it was one of their police officers who killed this man by stomping on his neck, George Floyd? Why are they saying we're not going to give this guy immunity? He has the possibility of now, without the immunity, of being prosecuted for third degree murder. So therefore, he doesn't want to cooperate. He doesn't want to say a damn word when his testimony may help their case. Well, the more I think about it, I realize it will hurt their case. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is all tricky legal wrangling. I was trying to figure this out, and I haven't heard a pundit say it. If Maurice Hall is given immunity and they put him up on the stand and say, tell us about this. Did you see the cop stomping on his neck? Yes, he did. Was there any reason for that? No. Did you ask that? Was everyone begging to get off? Yes, everyone was begging him to get off. He said he couldn't breathe. I was, you know, use him as a witness. Like they had all the other witnesses that they brought on the first couple of days. But why not Maurice Hall, who was integral, major part of this entire event? Because if he gets up there, the defense, right? Derek Chauvin, the cop's attorney, is going to say, did you give him drugs? Weren't you the one who gave him the 20? Wasn't he falling asleep in the car? Which is a pure sign of fentanyl. Hasn't he used heroin with you before? Hasn't he used fentanyl with you before? Weren't you using it that day? Didn't you kill him? I mean, this is what's going to happen, right? So it's in the prosecution's. This is crazy, but it's in the. I'm thinking it's in the prosecution. Think, am I wrong? Is there a lawyer in the house? If you know a lawyer, you call him right now. You tell him to tune into the show. Is the state, the prosecuting attorney who's trying to throw this cop in jail, are they dangling this third degree murder charge possibly over his head, knowing that it can't be both? Right? They can't say, well, the cop killed him by stomping on his neck, and then turn around if he gets off and say, okay, well, it was Maurice Hall, and we want to charge him with murder for the fentanyl. They can't turn around and do that. But under the guise, right, under his attorney, under the guise, and probably working with the prosecution anyway, right, under the guise of, oh, I don't want to, you know, open myself up to this third-degree murder charge, which could not happen if you think that the cop did it. It doesn't expose him to the questions that the defense wants. I don't want to confuse you, but this makes sense if you think about it. I mean, this legal, folks, you want to talk about a bunch of vipers and snakes in a sack. Talk about lawyers. Meaner than a sack of rattlesnakes, lawyers. The legal wrangling, the duplicity, the dirty tricks. Why do you think people hate lawyers? I mean, you hear all these jokes and how people hate lawyers. Because you have to be a duplicitous fiend to even be an attorney. I have relatives in the profession. They're nice people. I'm just saying. My grandfather was a judge, for God's sakes. I watched this judge in this trial, and I think of what it must have been for my grandfather to be on the bench, deciding what to let in and what not. It's so complicated. That's why those judges are judges. These are complicated, convoluted legal issues. And sometimes there's something so – I watched this judge masterfully just whack down a bunch of arguments that these lawyers had because they're going to fight for every inch of turf. You know that. But at some points they were objecting the little things and you could tell he wanted it to move on. And he'd say, overruled, continue. And he was blunt. And, you know, I don't want to say – He's not a mean judge. I forget the judge's name. He's actually pretty good. But I just kept thinking of my grandfather. Like, what? This is a stressful job. You think the judge is just up there just like kind of like making sure everyone follows the rules. But every once in a while, he gets a doozy. This was a whopper. Like, can we ask Maurice Hall anything if he's, you know, well, no, he's going to plead the fifth. And you can't compel him to incriminate himself. So, but masterfully, in my opinion, it's the prosecution saying, well, wait, we don't want to open him up to any kind of his lawyer working with the prosecution. We don't want to open him up to any possible charges of third degree murder because of some sort of drug charge down the line. It's like, yeah, but wait. They're not. Why would they charge him with a murder when they think the cop killed him by choking, stomping on his neck? And I guess they could say, well, which is a weak argument. Well, if they actually prove that it was the drugs, which of course they looked into, if they prove it was the drugs, maybe, yeah, we'd change our mind and charge Maurice Hall. The whole thing, it stinks to high heaven, folks. Listen, when you better know this. One thing I will say about Derek Chauvin is he is taking notes every freaking minute. His lawyer's good. I don't know if he's the best, to be honest with you. I've had my issues with his defense. But I have seen this cop taking notes every minute, and you have to take notes. You know, think about it. You are going possibly to prison to a place where everyone hates you. Possibly for the rest of your life. For 40 years, right? And how old is he? And he's late 30s, maybe early 40s. I don't know. It's about what he looks. So, yeah. Essentially a life sentence, dying in prison. You'd better be taking notes. You know, and I think about people who are going to prison. Let's say it's just a simple drug charge or something like that, right? Like they got caught with like Coke in the car or something. Not Coca-Cola. And you're sitting in jail, you know, thinking what you're going to do. Who's my lawyer? What am I going to do? When you have all the time in the world sitting in jail, or maybe you're at home. Well, I don't know what happened. Maybe you lost your job because you got arrested, you got a drug charge, and you're sitting at home. And you know, you're freaking out and like watching like Netflix. Seriously, there's guys that get thrown in jail. What do? They get in trouble. They do stupid stuff. They're watching, you know, television all day, right? You had better be reading every damn law book. I would be sitting there mounting my own defense from jail. So by the time I actually went to trial with my lawyer, I'd have everything figured. Like I'd know as much as the lawyers. I'd practically have a law degree by the time, because you could be like sitting in jail, or your trial might not come up for a year or two. How long is it for Chauvin? 8 months or something? And they rushed this thing because they wanted to get this thing out of the way. Why do you think they gave his family $27 million in a civil settlement? Come on. They don't want the damn city to burn. And look, it won't just be Minneapolis. It'll be Ferguson. It could be LA. It could be New York. It could be a city near you. So they're trying to button this thing up, and I'm telling you, there's problems. And again, I know people heard me say that, you know, Maurice Hall was the biggest villain in this thing. Okay, maybe not the biggest villain in this thing, We have the cop. I get it. But you understand what I'm... He's the one... Let me put it this way. He is the one unknown villain in this whole thing. He's the one who gave him drugs. His wife didn't like him because he was supplying him with an addict. He's an opioid addict. Is that right? An opioid addict, which, by the way, I've heard is the hardest thing in the world by multiple people that I know. Personal like experiences who said it's the hardest thing they ever had to kick. So I believe it because I've seen people. It's like heroin. What could be worse? Crack maybe is just as bad. But anyway, because people who get on crack, they can never give it up. But heroin, I think, is worse because it's a physical addiction. If you don't have it, your body goes into the sickness and everything. Like alcohol, like hardcore alcoholics, you get the shakes and stuff. But anyway, this Maurice Hall, who is the unknown villain, I said the biggest, we've got Derek Chauvin, I get it. But the unknown villain, Maurice Hall, who's kind of his friend, I guess, but who's selling him drugs, giving him counterfeit money, setting him up. I mean, he's the guy that has to deal with the cops. If he would have given the money, he would have been the one at Cup Foods getting arrested and his neck stomped on, possibly. But he was sober. He wasn't freaking out on drugs. His buddy, George Floyd, who was vulnerable in a vulnerable state, said, hey, man, go pass that 20. Here's 20 bucks. Go buy what you need. Hoping that he'd come back with the change with real cash. Because he's a dirtbag. Let's call him what it is. He's a dirtbag. And then what does he do? He skips town as soon as this guy died the next day. I don't like this guy, man. I don't like the cop either. Don't get me wrong. But I couldn't help but watch the darn video. And George Floyd, before Derek Chauvin even shows up, he's in Cup Foods, like laughing and talking to other people. And you look at him, he's a strong, healthy, like, you're like, how does this strong, tall, energetic guy end up dead a few minutes, like 5 minutes later? He's like, excuse me, and he's in good spirits, talking to a few people that he knows in there, the people behind the counter, tries to pay. The guy goes, hey, man, no, I think this money's fake. And, oh, okay. He didn't make a big deal about it. He didn't know what he was doing. He got set up, man. That's what's so tragic about this. But most people just heard, well, he went in there with fake money trying to rob the store and like being a scumbag. It was this Maurice Hall guy that apparently gave him the money and pot and the drug, but we're never going to know because he's never going to take the stand. So this is all speculation that is coming out during the trial. Again, I am not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. I'm just watching it like I did every other major trial that I've been interested in, including the OJ trial, which I watched pretty much the whole thing. I know everything about the OJ trial. So let's not try and talk about did he or didn't he do it. He did it. Absolutely. Slam dunk. You can listen to last week's show. I played OJ's confession on the last show, for Christ's sakes. And people will still tell me, oh, OJ didn't do it. Yeah. Okay, man. All right, bro. So we'll leave on a good note. I do recommend that you see The Hunt, the 2020 sleeper film that a lot of critics just apparently hated, which I absolutely love. I said this is an instant cult classic. I'm so glad I bought the DVD. You ever buy a DVD? And I'm sure you've done this before with maybe VHS tapes or DVDs when you were still buying them. I know nobody buys them, me anymore. And you absolutely hated it. You said, oh, this would be a great movie. And you're just like, oh, what? And you never watched it again. It just sat on your shelf. You could have given it away. You'd never care. Right. You probably left it to somebody's house. You forgot about it. You want this? Yeah. All right, man. Just a total stinker. Right. And then every once in a while, you just pick one up like I did. I said, oh, I heard about this, but I heard it wasn't very good. But, you know, I can never go by what people think. Let me just pick it up. It's on sale, too, probably because nobody's buying it. Picked it up. Great film. I was just totally blown away. I was like, why does nobody know? I started calling people, telling them, have you seen this film? So you got to see this. You know, this is like a random, like, I'm doing laundry, like, you know, I had it playing on, and then all of a sudden I got sucked into it and just stopped everything and watched it. All right, folks, so now you've got some homework to do. I recommend The Hunt and Godzilla versus King Kong, if you like that kind of movie. I know the ladies in the audience are like, yeah, dude, not really into Godzilla and King Kong. That's kind of like the Three Stooges. Which, folks, you do not know a woman that likes the Three Stooges. They may say, oh, it's okay. They don't really like it. Oh, yeah, I can put up with it, watching it with my kids or, you know, my stupid husband. Women don't get the Three Stooges. But men can sit there and just laugh their asses off at just them smacking the crap out of each other. It's pure violence. That's all it is. I listen, I challenge you. Is there a woman in the audience that likes Three Stooges? I know we have a few. And if you're listening out there, you can always join the chat. My name is Alex Exum. You can check me out at alexexum.com. I do have a Patreon account and other goodies at the site. I don't know what goodies. Like goodies. Yeah, you can find me. Stuff like that. So, all right, friends. Live talk. I will see you next time. Same time, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Wacky Zany Show. All right. Have a good night. Ciao. Talking head shit with the sabers, talking ice. I'm talking George, Kendall, Payton's, tech 10, start spraying shit. Contemplate, break it down and hold up in divvy loans. Pillow talk the hoes. I'm up in Amos talking total stones. Paid the name Povio. Proud of putting down to my kneecaps. I sold my first square, the shit touch was so. Listen here, Gianni, get you in. Wrap my bricks in here.